And we're bringing down those smooth big band sounds from La Beth and Big Band Music Show to start our public affairs show for the week. This is Jay Koronick, and I'm happy to be with you for another show today. Local news and views, and beginning right now. And welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. This is Jay Koronick with you today in the studio live here on May the 16th, 2008. I hope everyone is having a good time out there. Weather is brisk and sunny, and it's a nice springtime in Michigan. I am joined in the studio, and you may hear him make comments along the way here. My co-host today is Ned Apigian, and this is what they call the mic check, Ned. So,
is it checking?
Tell us about your life for a few seconds. What's happening this week?
Well,
for
the
you?
Only thing that happened is that I had an accident last week, and I broke three fingers in my left hand. Thank God it wasn't the right hand.
Uh-huh. Now you're wearing this this sort of brace.
Yes.
It's the exact perfect kung fu attack brace grip.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's how you're supposed to hold your hand to hit somebody, you know, and devastate them. So just
Lord have mercy.
Just in case you're in a dark alley or something and something threatening happens, just hold up that hand, you know, above your head, and they'll think, oh, he knows kung fu.
Scare the heck out of
you. Oh, it will. It's scary to me. But no, sorry to hear that. Nothing, no social angle or comment that we can criticize here to allow people to avoid finger-breaking accidents.
Don't try to push your own car and lose control of it and run over your hand.
That is such a funny story. The basic line is he ran over his fingers with his own car.
Right.
Yeah. But we won't try to describe it because it just gets more hilarious.
If you had a video of it, it would be on TV. That's for sure.
I probably would win. Okay, thanks, Ned. But Ned, as you know, folks, is not only a member of our general staff here and a good supporter of everything we do at the station, but also has his own show, which is typically on Saturday mornings, his own talk show, and it's entitled Then and Now, and a new episode will appear a week from this Saturday, tomorrow. And we might even have a second one this month.
Absolutely.
Too. Yeah, he's planning on. And briefly, Then and Now, what kind of show is that talk show?
It's... simply put, it's how history affects current events.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, most people don't understand why on the earth is that a problem. And if you look into it, you will find there's always something in the past that you could need to understand in order to make some reflection on the present.
And his resources are some of the most knowledgeable history professors. Yeah, it's
so
sort of like an intellectual history. He's been very, very good. He scours the earth, both local and national, for people who have written books, oh my gosh, and even doctoral dissertations.
Well, there have to be people I know.
Yeah, and they're also very intelligent, intelligent in the sense I meant to say intelligible. They speak very well, and it's a little bit of it's a different way to listen to the radio when you're listening to sort of background information on history and wars and battles and
well, if you listen
issues,
to the History Channel.
But it's fascinating. Yeah, I find
it fascinating. On television, that's what I do all the time, so.
Yeah, Yeah.
And you always learn something.
Well, it's always possible to learn something in most situations, but certainly for our alternative kinds of programming here at WHFR, Making Waves, you can actually learn something that that is really, really true, folks, and learn in depth. So consider Here and Now, which is one of our forum talk shows that we feature every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. in the morning. And Ned's show, as I said, is next episode Saturday. Is going to be, I'm sorry, did I say Sunday? Wrong. Saturdays
okay. Next Saturday.
From 10 to 11. So that's tomorrow, May 17th, and on the 24th, Ned's next episode of Here and Now will be broadcast. And it's also available via podcast from our website, whfr.fm. Last month, and I apologize already to Ned, but we played one of those forum shows instead of his. And so the third Saturday from March is, by date, is not his show.
But, yeah, the talk shows, we ought to remind the people, are pre-recorded.
Yes.
So they're not live like this.
Well, there might be an exception tomorrow. I hear that Mike Holloway, who does a show called Metaphysically Speaking, is actually coming in to do it live. Yeah. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. Just sometimes difficult to get these. Usually each one of the forum talk shows has a significant extended interview. Sometimes by phone, sometimes pre-recorded live here in the studios. But, you know, we can't always get these people exactly Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. So they've been pre-recorded so far. But tomorrow on the 17th, Metaphysically Speaking, Mike Holloway's show is going to be on, and we suspect it's going to be live at that point. And then you can listen later, of course, from the website, WHFR.com.
So there's something else here aside from every kind of music imaginable.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, like this show, our public affairs show, the new WHFR Journal. Well, let's take a look at the local papers, as we are wont to do.
Looks like there's a lot of things to do with people switching schools.
Well, there's that. You have the Wednesday. I'm going to start with Sunday, which you don't see, but I'm going to cover some stuff that happened or that was reported anyway from Sunday, May the 11th. The Downriver Sunday Times, that is the Times-Herald Sunday edition that serves a number of Downriver communities. They talk, and we mentioned this last week, so this is the follow-up quickly, in Trenton. Thank you, good people of Trenton. I think it was a very worthy school bond improvement vote, a millage vote. The people of Trenton last Tuesday did vote in favor of it passing, and the vote was 2,811 to 1,487, so it was quite a decisive margin. And even the absentee votes, and that are often against local taxes or school millages because those people
That's
are
unusual.
On limited incomes, but they voted against it, but only by a margin of 11 votes. So they sort of split down the middle, about 690 to 680, and so that was actually close. So that was actually good support from the people that really don't have any extra money to put out at all. And some, although I don't agree with the logic, do feel, well, we don't have any kids in the schools locally. Why should we have to pay school taxes? So I understand that argument. I appreciate it. I don't agree with it. If you have the money and you are retired, I think you should still support the local schools for the good of the future of the community. But nonetheless, it passed by a large margin. And as they said down there, the superintendent, John Savelle, in Trenton, said our students and staff will now have the technology tools needed to face the challenges of the future. It will provide upgrades and improvements at every school in the district. But its three basic priorities was creating healthy schools by updating and renovating facilities, including upgrades to heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. And we know how mold and fungus can appear in the heating and cooling ducts and
we'll
has to close be cleaned
a building
out.
Now.
Fiberglass is still in evidence in some of these very old buildings. The school that we've reported for the last couple of years in Dearborn had a terrible smell problem, which is making people sick. Final judgment was, after several inspections by various kinds of experts, said it won't kill the average person or the average kid, but if you're sensitive,
make you sick,
definitely. And it's interesting, one of the school board members here in Dearborn, she couldn't even go inside. She's so sensitive to allergies that she immediately got an attack of something when she walked in the building. But they decided to just try to renovate you know, ceilings and crawl spaces. And, you know, one option was, well, unfortunate, expensive option would be to tear down the whole school and start over, because it was built into these, Ned, as an architect, you can imagine, it's a ceiling design that really doesn't have an attic, so they can't really go in there. And that's where the asbestos is.
Plenum?
Yeah, right. There's air that passes through there, but they'd have to tear off the whole roof to really fix the problem of the mold and fungus in the asbestos, too, in there. But they did some treatments, and I don't know. And it's apparently not a health problem for healthy kids right now. And the smell, the terrible, terrible odor, I think it was a junior high school that... I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's still going.
I thought they closed down schools that had black mold problems.
Well, yeah, it was that kind of a problem. Well, they typically would have to. In this case, the school system is saying that by several inspections, the improvements in airflow capacity and the treatments they've done of various things have minimized the smell issue. And in terms of toxicity, it is not hazardous to the average child. Even though I guess there's still some residual odor, but they're just going to try to muddle through this. So it's a big problem of all older schools, and you've got to keep them up, folks. And it costs money to do that, unless you're going to build a whole new school, which costs even more money.
I'd like to say something about the tax issue for people who feel that school taxes are not to be supported. You know, most of the people that vote are senior citizens. Most of them are now childless, you know, empty nesters. But I'd like to relay the story of my own family. You know, for almost 30 years, my father didn't own a piece of property, didn't own a house. They were renters in apartments. Mm-hmm. They paid no school tax and yet put several children through school. So at the end of life, that kind of like balances out. Although that situation doesn't exist anymore like it did for the first generation of immigrants that came at the turn of the century, where they weren't owners of property until mostly after the Second World War, when they made money and there was nothing to buy and they were able to buy homes for almost cash.
Yeah.
But they didn't pay any school taxes or property taxes, yet they put children through school.
Yeah, in this particular election in Trenton, you said seniors are most of the people that vote. Actually, they have a higher percentage within their age group of people that vote, because they usually get absentee ballots, or if you're over a certain age, I can't remember that age, 62,
it's
65, 62. You automatically can get it sent to you, too.
You have to
or
apply.
You have to request it. It's not automatic anymore in Michigan. That's correct. But you get a notification that you can apply, at least in Dearborn,
right,
if you have applied for that reason.
It's almost a double application.
Yes.
You apply to apply.
Right. You apply, and then they send you the application to apply, and then you apply, and then you might get the ballot.
Then you get the ballot.
Right.
You have to be out of town, inconvenient at work. But
You know, the state of...
sick or something.
I think it's Washington state does have a balloting... by paper ballot, mail-in ballots for everybody. And the problem is they just did a primary, for a Democratic and Republican primary out there. And the problem was it takes about 2 weeks to count the ballots because it's not by machine, so they have to hand count them. So there is a delay there, but they get obviously, and I don't know the percentage,
must be
but they get
delay,
a very high percent.
Must be a delay in receiving. The Canadians count paper ballots in the evening and give you a result.
Well, that's true. I don't know how they do.
Well,
there's just not so many. Certainly, I mean absentee ballots and others. They do count the paper ballots on the same night, and it takes a couple more hours, but it's not 2 weeks. So maybe there's a 2 week period to return them in.
Yeah,
and maybe that's the issue.
That
would be good too, because then they don't have to hire an awful lot of outside help. Just the clerk's office can handle it over that same period if they don't all come in on the same day. But they do get a much higher percent from every age group of those people that choose to vote that way.
Maybe that's something to consider. Oregon's advantage of interested voters.
Trenton, it wasn't just the seniors, were about 1,200-1,300 people out of about 4,200 or 4,300 that voted. So only about a third were in the absentee ballot category. category. And, of course, some of the absentee ballots may be just people out of town or sick for some reason who aren't of senior age. But
it's usually a larger, much larger percentage than that.
Right. Yes, it would be, especially in the school ballots where a lot of people are not even aware there was an election going on because they're at strange times in the year like this one. Secondly, they're going to improve safety and security by putting in monitoring systems. It must be like video cameras or something.
Yes.
That control access to facilities through designated entrances and updated video surveillance. Unfortunately, you know, damage to the schools by vandals is still pretty significant at times. Things getting stolen and so on. And schools, it's the price of doing business these days. They've got to improve their security and monitoring.
Well, nothing much has changed. That used to happen 50 years ago, if you remember.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if there's more incident of it or not.
There are just more things to damage now, electronic equipment.
There's greater incentives to, I mean, if they can steal a computer is worth more money.
Absolutely.
You know, than just chalk and desks and a couple of textbooks that might have been around in the 50s. So I know here at Henry Ford Community College and other schools that it's the break periods that they have to monitor even more because probably not students, but whoever.
Nobody's here.
Yeah, typically there's nobody around, and therefore if security is not monitoring more intensively, then there, of course at every college and school there's more stuff to steal that they might be able to get some money for. Nobody seems to steal the textbooks from junior high, and so
I seem to remember just damage to the buildings.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
they were just vicious, no
pranksters,
nonsensical.
Right. Yeah, there's still a little bit of that, I guess. And we just repainted all of our restrooms here in the Fine Arts Building, in my building, I know, because of graffiti. There's still always graffiti on the walls, and at a certain point you can't just clean it off because there's magic markers and stuff. And
well, the station's been repainted, and we never had that problem.
Well, no, we have limited access. We have high security access here, and so we don't have a graffiti problem. But, every 5 years you need some fresh paint on the walls. It looks so dingy and gray, and it's an excuse to sweep and mop, too, by the way. Oh, well, and updating technology, as they mentioned. So newer computers and new furniture and providing access for people with, who might be in wheelchairs or other kinds of challenges. Okay, well, that story, I just wanted to finish that up. And good for Trenton, who did support their schools and had a good turnout for at least that kind of situation.
Yep.
Okay, and moving on here, spinning through. I've just been doing some research, and maybe Ned, since you're of a certain age, as the French would say, too.
I never heard that before.
There's an editorial here from
Frank
someone.
Bewick. Or
no,
someone?
Not, it's. I'm trying to see. Continue on 6A. Oops, got to turn the page here. Let's see who wrote this. Oh, it is 30 plus 1, but they don't have that heading on it. So it's Frank Bewick. He says, do better without Social Security. Do better without it. Okay, let's see what he says. He says, we hear a great deal out of Washington, D.C. about the future of our Social Security system. Depending on who is doing the computing and who is doing the talking, our Social Security system, he says, will go broke by the year 2020 or 2025 or 2030 or any number of years that the talkers dream up. Frank says, though, and there's discussion and debate about that.
He says, I don't know. He's old enough.
Well, yeah, and so am I now, too. But I have no doubt that the system will suffer drastically if something isn't done about it. So he says, today we have only 3 workers for every retiree, but that will change within the next few years. The baby boomers, and that's me, I was born in 1946, darn it. So I get that moniker of baby boomer
because
I was somebody
born
that was
after
born
war.
After World War II. The soldiers come back, and there's nothing to do but make babies, you know.
They were starting families.
Starting families, sure. Starting now that I'm not going to die in war, I got a chance to start a family, yes.
Right.
And so, a lot of us are considering retirement as I am, and I've done some research here, too. So he says that additional amount of retirees will continue for the next 10 or 15 years. He says that's when the fun begins. Some of the solutions being examined today are to increase the retirement age or lessen the amount of contributions given to each recipient. That's the part that bothers me the most, he says. This is not a contribution. This is the return of our money, what the government took from us during our working years and promised to return in monthly installments after we reach the retirement age. Each individual has a choice of when they might begin receiving these checks, age 62 or 65. Actually, it's 66 for the baby boomers. If you were born after 45, the what they call the full retirement date is 66. You can retire at 62, but you get 30% less than in monthly pay than you would at 65.
Well, I have some information for Mr. Bewick. He gives the standard argument, which everybody does, which to me is nonsensical.
Go ahead.
And I'll tell you what the first thing is. The first thing is the idea that he's put money in and he's getting cheated is ridiculous, because you take a lot more money out of that in the first couple of years you're collecting than you ever put in. Now, to the math of that, all you got to do is look at your own Social Security statement, which I have. And in the 60s and 70s, where the limit of what you put in was like limited to the first $3,000, and it was very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
So no one ever talks about that. So that's the number one thing. The number two thing, which is even much more important, is I don't. Even though they did that thing with the, so like my wife got in caught into that thing, instead of collecting at 65, it's 65 in 3 months. It gradually worked its way up to it's probably 66.
Yeah,
but it's for the first 87,000, or is it 90 now? I forget the number.
It's in the 90s now.
It's in the 90s. Yeah. Now, dear listeners, how many of you are making more than $96,000 or $93,000?
Well,
if you took that limit and increased it to double your first 180,000 or the first 150, it would solve that problem. So how many people are affected? A minuscule percentage of people would be contributing for a longer period of time, but they will be getting a lot more back, and they probably don't even need it, people that have that kind of income.
So your suggestion is, in regard
just
to that limit?
Increase it.
Yeah.
The limit.
Somebody told me, and it is...
It doesn't affect you if you don't make less than 90, the limit now.
Well, you pay retirement money into the system from your checks up to 92,000 something, I think, each year.
This year, but
why not? I raise this question for those that make more than that. Why not continue paying no matter what your salary? What's wrong with that? In fact, I heard a suggestion that
it would never fly.
Well,
multimillionaires
I guess the rich
don't want to pay until forever.
Well,
so you limit it to some number.
You know, I guess I do believe in graduated income tax.
I do.
That the people that have more money supposedly have more discretionary income, and it doesn't mean that they don't deserve a higher standard of living.
Sure.
To buy a more expensive home, to buy a more expensive car, if they are smart enough or clever enough, not necessarily corrupt enough, to get more
or
money.
Or dumb enough now to pay for the gas.
Yeah, well... You know, so but still, they should be paying their fair share at the very least, and to pay nothing if you're making more than $92,350 into the Social Security system
is
just downright wrong.
Right.
And I heard someone, whether it was Al Gore,
nobody ever talks about that. If you notice,
right, that would save the Social Security system
forever.
So fast, so easy, forever. If everybody just paid, and we have to work out if it's heavily graduated or just the
graduated
same
down too.
Well, right. Why do you have to pay any in? Now it's true that in terms of withholding, if you're making I think less than $30,000 a year or maybe $35,000 now, and you have a family of four, you get all of that back pretty much. All the
even
withholding.
If you don't pay, you have that. What do they call the income tax prop? I'm getting
in Michigan. There is
in
a
other words, if you've
tax,
never paid anything into it, you get money back.
Yes. Yes,
but never paid any
possible
tax,
right.
So we have those little tricks. Why can't we just pay a little longer?
Well, as long as you've shared your information there, I'll share mine, and because I've just been looking into Social Security since the college is offering a buyout and incentive to retire so they can bring in people that actually make a lot less than I do into my same position, though.
Makes sense.
And they make money on that within a year or two, even though they're paying me these payments spread out over 4 or 5 years.
Like a year's salary in advance to leave.
Yeah, it's basically, it's a little bit less than that, but it's like I think 80%, but it's spread out over 4 years, and when they bring somebody in who's, it doesn't have to do with age, but anyone coming in is making only about 40% of what I'm making now, because they don't have those extra increments for the years of service and so
right.
on. So it's a good deal for schools and even for other businesses. Of course, with Ford and GM, they just buy out people and don't hire anybody in their place because they're downsizing at the same time. That's not the case with the schools, that they can't afford to downsize. But it's a good deal to do that. And for people near retirement, it's a nice little extra gift. Well, I looked into how much my Social Security amount is, and without getting personal here, I couldn't live on that. It is about 1/4 of what I need to live on. And okay, I have a nice home in Dearborn, but I don't have a monster home. I have a nice car, but it's not a fantastic, Maserati, Ferrari, whatever.
Talking about the 62 age retirement?
Yeah, at 62.
Level?
But even at my 66, thank goodness I have other investments. And I have, God bless the state of Michigan, as most teachers do, they have a separate pension that they pay into, and the school districts do too. You pay like 50-50 on that. But that is like 3 times the monthly amount of Social Security for me. Thank goodness for Michigan teachers' pensions, because I don't know how many people could live on their Social Security allotment, either at 62 or 66, by themselves. This is just a cautionary tale for anybody who's young who's listening. Social Security
should be saving from your whole life.
Absolutely, whether it's stocks, bonds, tax shelter annuities that teachers and doctors can get, or these, I think they're called 401 accounts, either 401 or 403, through certain businesses. They will put money aside that's tax sheltered.
Or you can have an IRA if you don't have a structured
different. And those that don't make a lot of money, IRAs are a great deductible deal, and there's two different kinds. We won't go into that, but that is a wonderful way to save too for your retirement. There's limits, but certain people like myself, I make too much money to qualify for an IRA deduction.
It's post-tax money. You can create your own.
Well, IRA. Yes, I do.
Well,
I have a non-deductible, but the deductible type, either Roth or the standard traditional IRA, does have a limit of so many thousands of dollars a year, and I haven't qualified for that. But it's disputable. You need a tax advisor or an investment counselor.
Well, this is a program of education, and what we're talking about is a serious thing for listeners that if you... what's unusual is if you take the retirement at 62, which is discounted, as Jay says, to 30%, I wasn't sure what the discount was, you're also limited as to how much money you could make. It's like about $11,000 a year.
Right.
However, if you work till the 65 or 66, you collect your full Social Security, and you can work and make $1 million a year. Now, that's crazy. I don't know why that's reversed.
Right. You can still get the Social Security amount. Although it's only a pittance, and nobody could live on that alone. But after the age of 66, your so-called full retirement age, they'll give you the checks. It doesn't matter how much you're also earning. But until then, they take 50% of the amount over the amount now is $13,500. $13,500 a year. If you earn that between
$62
and 66, anything you earn from a part-time job or even a full-time job over $13,500 they take 50% of it from you, and it's weird how they take it.
But isn't that the crazy formula? You would think it'd be the other way around. Yeah. I'll give you your reduced Social Security check, and you can work as much as you want.
Well, it's an interesting definition of who is retired. Okay. You are retired after age 62 if you want to file the papers, if you're just simply making less than $13,000 a year.
Right.
So you don't have to be officially retired by your employer or whatever.
The numbers help you. It's money you wouldn't
you
be making.
You can say, I am retired because your income is only $11,000 or $13,000 a year or less.
No, you're entitled to take it, so you take
it.
You don't have to call yourself anything.
No, you don't need an employer to say you are officially retired from us. It's just how much money you have to be making at the age of 62 or your official full retirement age, which might be 66 these
days. The penalty is you don't get Medicare, and that's the big help at 65.
Yes, that's another issue. See, these things are not simple, folks. And for young folks, the only thing I wanted to say is, and young could be anybody under 60, I guess, for this discussion, you need to look into this. don't wait. You need to save like crazy one way or the other, and it's not just cash. In fact, cash savings in a savings account of a commercial bank is not the way to do it, folks, because there's almost no interest. It may be fairly safe, but you're not keeping up with inflation. So, and it's money that was already taxed when you deposited it. So people got it, but you can't survive, folks, on Social Security alone. Here's Frank. Let's continue his argument here.
Oh, I was going to give you another thing about this that talks about before we finish with Frank.
Yeah.
There are mechanisms today that allow you, when you reach a certain age, and it may be 62, to save an additional $5,000 a year, and that amount changes every year. So while you're still working, you can tax shelter $5,000 of your income. And there's another one I heard on television the other day. So instead of being limited to a 401k, which is approximately about $12,000 to $13,000, mm-hmm. you tax shelter. This is called a catch-up. At a certain age, you can do another $5,000. So the more money you're able to shelter from the tax man and invest in an investment instrument is better for you in the long run. And those are the kinds of things you need to be aware of. Even if you're a young person, you should always be trying to save 10% of the whatever dollar you make, because it becomes an astronomical sum.
Right.
I never thought about that when I was young, that's for sure.
One conclusion you could make here, and those are all ways that you can really get economic benefit in your retirement. If Social Security is not really giving you more than a fourth or a third of what you need to live on, in a way, who needs it? Now, certainly the Republicans, who needs it is, I'm sorry to say, some people in our society who don't have access to a lot of information or to any extra money to even invest.
Or didn't do anything
unfortunately.
There's a big lot of people in that category.
Yeah, and of course, some people feel, they didn't look for a big job, they didn't get the education, they don't deserve any money in retirement from the government, and of course, everything ends quite badly for them then, if that's the situation. So it's an interesting balance of how much we need to take care of the other folks in society, or educate and train them and give them more chances and opportunities to get that job.
Let's see if Frank touched on any of the different things we did. He may not have, and so we've really made an important contribution to this subject.
Right. Well, first of all, he's saying that full retirement age might be raised in order to save the system, that you won't get all the money, which is still not what you need. You can't live
on
it anyway.
That's not a solution.
But it might go up to 67 or age 70, and I've heard of that. And he says, that's kind of unfair. Okay, fine. We're going on. He says, don't laugh, but President Bush had a good idea. Oh, my gosh.
Which Bush?
Well, our present.
Oh, the
present
Bush.
I think. Yeah, that's might be laughable to some people. But he says, President Bush had a good idea when he tried to have a portion of one's Social Security turned over to the individual to invest as he or she sees fit.
He thinks that's a good idea?
To give you the option to make more money.
What if they lose it?
Well, that's it. Yeah, there's no investments that are guaranteed.
And guess who they're going to come to for salvation?
Right. He says, I've done several columns on this over the past 5 or so years, and each time the individual benefits greatly. For example, before 9/11, the Dow Jones market, if you can keep up with wide diversified investments, that is bonds and stocks, and you don't get bad advice somewhere, and you spread your money around, you should be able to keep up with cost of living, certainly. And many investments don't. But it depends. Like in the last couple of years, those people that had those investments, the market has been going down. And a lot of people that are not in fixed accounts, luckily I switched to a fixed account 3 years ago when I thought I might retire soon. And so I haven't lost anything.
What does a fixed account mean?
Well, it guarantees 3%.
Oh, I see.
It's a mutual funds, but they guarantee you 3%, although that varies from 6 months. Every 6 months they adjust it, and it's been adjusted downward. But even if the market has dropped so much that there really should be a loss, you won't get a loss.
Banks will give you 5% on a certificate. I see it every time I go in the bank.
Certificates. That's where your money is tied up for 6 months or a year or three years.
3 months even. I can't even believe how short the terms are.
Yeah. And I'm again, we're not doing ads here, folks, but there are some banks that do business over the internet, and a couple of the names of the banks that other people know of is E-Trade has a savings account as well as CDs, and so does ING Direct. ING Direct, and both of these are very large worldwide banks, and some of the stock brokerage firms like Fidelity and...
About Merrill Lynch, the major stock company.
Well, of course, anyone can go online and invest with any of the stockbrokers, but I'm thinking of people that also have savings and checking accounts and also provide you with the buying of stocks and bonds and so on. And so there are others out there, folks, and it's something to look into. For example, a standard checking account from ING Direct and E-Trade is giving 4%.
Really, on a checking account?
Checking over a certain amount of money, like $1,000 or $2,000, but on savings, just on savings. You usually only have $100. That's not tied up money. You can electronically transfer it just by a phone call.
It stops once you're less than $100 or whatever the minimum is.
Well, there isn't. Once you start with ING and E-Trade, there is no minimum. You've got to start with $100, but there's no minimum. And I've just been doing electronic transfers to them because my local credit union doesn't have that much money. So it's just an emergency money that you want to have a couple thousand around. You know, you need cash quick, and you can get it from an ATM in this case. They give you an ATM card, or you can do electronic transfer to your local bank that doesn't give any money, but you can just physically go there after the transfer and take out the cash. So
all we're missing today is a financial expert, and
I'm just saying that there's some options out there if you look into it that'll do a lot better. I agree with Frank that if you're smart enough and you're willing, at least when you're younger, to risk a little bit. Of course, Warren Buffett, who's a great financier and a very rich person, and he always wants to remind people that when you invest in either stocks or bonds, number one, it should be diverse, not just one kind of stock and one kind of investment, but also there's the long-term view that over 5 years, over 10 years, it's going to balance out. The people that say, I lost $1,000 right now, I've got to change my investments, they're not going to come ahead. The people that change when things go down, they usually buy other stocks that are also low, but they might not buy the best ones to raise later. So if you got a good, solid investment, something that people basically need, like food or medical care,
I remember when McDonald's came out. Imagine if you had bought McDonald's stock for $1,000 in 1955 or so.
But think of some of the technology stocks.
And you didn't do anything with it. How much it would have doubled in value.
Technology stocks like Apple Computer. We know Apple is the number one seller of online music now. Their computers are only 10% of the market for computers.
Is that much now?
They're up to about 10% because they were down to about 3% in the 90s. And it looked like Apple might go broke. At that point, Apple shares were down to like less than 20 a share, like 12, 15 bucks. And then Microsoft gave them a little contribution, not much, to keep them as a competitor so they wouldn't get hit with monopoly charges. Because if Apple would have gone, they would be like 98% of the market, and then they've got to be controlled by the government. There's laws against controlling that much of the market. But in any event, so they helped Apple a little bit. But then Steve Jobs came back to the company that he started, and he had some wild and crazy ideas about new things like the iTunes Music Store. And they're doing just fine now. I think their shares are up to like, I haven't looked, but it's more than $100. It might be 180, 200 a share.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. And just so if you would have, though, bought Apple and stuck with, but who knows about technology? One day it might be up, another day down. But a major company, a player, you can kind of count on them, which is the message there. Well, Frank finally concludes. Excuse me.
He's listening to it. Frank's listening today, I think.
He says, young workers putting money in the stock market today will see that after about 30 or 40 years of work, if they do these investments on their own, they will have accumulated more money that way, than they can ever hope to imagine. They will have the funds to live very comfortably. You will have money to leave your children and even your grandchildren with significant money. Who knows, he says, we might even be able to completely do away with Social Security in the next 3 or 4 decades. But don't take my word for it. Figure what you pay today into Social Security. At the end of a year, increase that by 10%. And then he has some calculations there and so on. Totally agree with that, but then we still have the problem of the people that don't have access to this information, don't have good advisors, and have other problems in their life that are not their fault. either a physical problem, maybe caused by an accident, let's say a cyclone hits them or something, and health insurance costs, because not everybody is protected by health insurance, and certainly certain diseases
47 are not your million fault. Is 47 a number million they use.
And of course,
you know the other tragedy about that? A lot of those people choose not to. I have a friend that's my age. He's been cheating the system for 50 years.
Cheating.
He has not bought health insurance.
Oh, yeah?
And he doesn't want to buy it.
How does he cheat?
Oh, he's not. What I mean is, it's like gambling.
Oh,
nothing happens to you.
Right, of course. Yeah, well, you could just put money into savings or invest it yourself
rather
than pay for health insurance. And it's just that, a couple of years ago, the doctor said I needed a quadruple bypass.
That's right. Imagine what that would have cost if you had to pay for it.
I actually know. I looked at the hospital
bill.
The surgeon himself got about $25,000.
That's all.
For the 3.5 hours. But worth every penny since I'm still alive, of course.
Right. But the whole thing cost $250,000.
The stay in the hospital, no, it was $93,000.
That's all.
That was the doctor's fee plus the 4 days in the hospital. Now, I recovered pretty quick, thank goodness, because it wasn't fun in the hospital. But and it took 4 months of recovery at home, exercise, and various regimens and that. And
that's pretty cheap. I thought it was a lot
really?
More than that.
Well, I don't know what Dave Letterman or President Clinton paid, but now Clinton had some relapses, some infections. He had to go back a couple times. Letterman had some New York City doctor might have charged more. Yeah, that was Oakwood Hospital, and thank you, Oakwood. I'm still alive, so I didn't like their sly humor when they said, "Yeah, these operations, only 2 people out of 50 die," and I'm thinking, I don't want to hear that anybody dies from that operation. You know, I don't like those odds. 2 out of 50 is
so
4 out of 100.
93 and 25 was about $115,000, $120,000.
No, it was 93, including the doctor's fee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess that was a real deal, huh? Anyway,
they charged me $700 to do this foolishness on my hand.
I didn't pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and of course the cost of drugs, we can talk about that. That's completely unreal, it's. I do recommend still, folks, and I think it's another issue for the presidential campaign that shouldn't be forgotten in spite of the bad economy and the war in Iraq, and that's health insurance issues. Frank is right, the Social Security issue should be part of the discussion, too. But yes, thank goodness for my teacher's pension through the state of Michigan. Thank goodness for the tax shelter annuities that teachers have an option to get. And those companies that have 401k and 403bs, which are both tax sheltered, if you work for a company like that, folks, you take advantage of it, even though some of them don't give you a lot of choices about what to invest in. IRAs,
almost
we mentioned.
All of them can partially contribute, add to your whatever you put in.
Most of the bigger companies, certainly, yeah, yeah. And so we do highly recommend here. Ned and I, we're both senior citizen ages, and so we have had to investigate and look into these things. But we're not tax advisors. You need a number of people, read some books. Oh, my gosh, there's books out there on this, too, folks.
Also, the longer you work, the longer you contribute to the system, the bigger your check is, too.
Well, yeah, even over the age of 66.
The more you work, it helps.
You can, the books that I've read, I mean, several guidebooks, one from the New York Times and from some other money magazine, they say that you really should not wait till 66 or later. And I figured it up for myself. If I start Social Security now at 62, by 66, those payments would have been totaling $67,000.
Definitely.
Now, if I wait till 66, will I ever live long enough past that to get back that 66? Even though they're paying me 30% more a month, I will have missed out on $67,000 up front. So
30% less, you mean?
I'd say, yeah. Most advisors say don't wait for 66. Take the 30% discount now if you have other ways to survive.
Well, especially for people like you that have pensions and things.
Many people, they just got to keep working. They have to.
You can't afford to retire.
You can't afford to stop working. And I hear that all the time. And that's hopefully you've got your health and you can still enjoy the job that you're working at.
Why leave the job you got to become a doorman at Walmart? So that's crazy.
Right. And even at 66, as I said, Social Security money alone is not enough to retire. Well, we've talked about this mostly, exclusively, for the last half an hour in New WHFR Journal. And we do want to say that, this is the WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You can't hear this kind of discussion anywhere else. Read all of Frank Bewick's columns, by the way, 30plus1.com. He has his own special website.
Why does he call it 30 plus 1? Is there a reason for that?
Because he doesn't want to say his exact age.
Oh.
he's more than 30.
Oh, I see. It's an age thing.
30 plus 1, and the 1 indicates just, it's like 39 and. So 30 plus 1 implies, well, I'm over 30, and I don't really want to say what that is.
Well, he puts his picture in the thing, so you could tell he's over 30.
He does sometimes. It's not here today. Maybe it's on the website. But a wonderful gentleman, and I always compliment him, even if I disagree with some of the things he says, because he speaks his mind about important issues locally, and with age, in his case, certainly as a newspaper man, does come experience and the access to a lot of information. So
just don't try to get a job when you're up in age. It's the biggest form of job discrimination. You can't do it to black people. You can't do it to women. But if you show up at a job and you're a certain age, you're in
big
trouble.
It's a problem. Obviously, if they pay health insurance premiums based on age of their employees, they have to pay higher premiums for somebody that's older, even though they shouldn't have to, really. But
you're supposed to be smarter as you get older, right?
Well, and I think it is true, though, and most employers should be aware of this. Even they say, oh, old people get sick more often. That's not necessarily true, folks. Older folks are more healthy now than ever for a variety of reasons and generally have a work ethic.
That's different.
No insult to young people here, but they show up more reliably. They have a job, they go to it, and they show up on time. And I can't understand, folks, if you're young out of college, the number one reason you might get fired early is you don't show up every day, and you don't show up on time. How is that possible? You know, they expect that, folks. So if you don't want to get fired too quickly, or you'd like to only get fired because you're incompetent, then at least show up and show up on time. That is the number one criteria of people keeping their jobs, believe it or not, as well as doing at least a basic job, a satisfactory job, if not excellent job, is to show up every day and show up on time. So it's unbelievable that that work ethic. But older folks have that.
I like to say I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I sure as hell don't take any dope.
Don't take any dope, any guff from us around here either, Ned. You're a tough act to follow. Okay, we do have a superintendent in Dearborn who's been selected. They have to negotiate his contract. I'm not sure what the details are exactly, whether it's a price thing.
Well, if he's
or
agreed
benefits.
To the job.
He has agreed, but they still, as the paper says from Wednesday, his name is Brian Whiston.
Yes.
Whiston.
He's got the right name.
Currently, he is the director of government and community services for the Oakland County Intermediate School District.
Right.
And it does say the offer is contingent upon acceptance of a mutually agreeable employment contract, which is finally subject to board approval. So there's maybe some perks, like does he get a car or something?
Why would they go through all this trouble and then say that?
It's always that way. Until the final contract is signed, they can't say definitely. But he's been chosen. It's probably going to be him. And I thought this was interesting in the Wednesday Times Herald, which you see there too.
Yeah.
Trustee Pamela Adams, she called Whiston, quote, the most unconventional, unquote, of the three, saying that he has, quote, interesting ideas, unquote, and that she was, quote, impressed with his ability to think outside the box, unquote. To me, that's got to be the most desirable factor. We need new ideas all the time. We have challenging situations always, even in the schools. Even though schools have always been referred to as the most conservative of all social institutions, like we don't want them to change too fast, get too trendy. That would hurt the educational stability of our program. But nonetheless, we got special challenges all the time. And somebody who can think outside the box and has, as she says, interesting ideas,
I thought his primary...
that's great, and I'm glad that a majority, and she doesn't say if she voted for him or not, but I think that's great that he was the one selected and that he has that ability. He looks like a very nice guy. I don't know. He's got a picture here. He wears glasses like me. He's got a nice suit and tie, but a friendly guy. I'd like to meet him, and maybe we'll invite him in for an interview on this show in the next couple of months if he signs his contract and if the board approves of it.
Seems to me anybody that has a job like that or any job similar to that, whether it has to do with education or engineering, that he has to be an administrator.
Yeah. And
I'm sure ideas come from all sorts of places.
A new way to solve problems.
But he's not the solution to everybody's problem.
No, not per se. But
he's a captain of a ship.
Right. He has done a good job for the
direction.
Oakland County Intermediate School District. Sharon Dumage, who's also a board member, she said that despite some criticism that all the candidates are from Michigan, what's wrong with that? Who in their right mind would say it's not, you didn't do a wide enough search? There are great candidates in Ohio and Illinois.
It's not as if this was West Virginia or something.
The argument could be made that people from Michigan know more about Michigan populations, and he's from the Detroit area, just like one of the other people was a superintendent, or currently still is, the superintendent at the city of Harper Woods on the east side of Detroit.
Maybe she was just looking for something to say.
No, she said some people from the community, if not from the board itself, were criticizing that all the candidates, or at least the final three, were all from Michigan. I don't see a problem with that. I really don't. But anyway, she and the rest of the board are satisfied with the position, that the position was advertised nationally as promised by its search firm, which is Thomas Lennon, which is McLendon, because he was a former superintendent himself and was here in Dearborn for many years, my first wife used to babysit for him. Oh, anyway, it's a long time ago. Okay, but they did advertise nationally. Everything's legal, folks, so I don't know why the criticism there that we only
looking
have
at the other two candidates, it looked like he was in charge of a bigger operation. You know, it seems as though DeFrance, superintendent of Eaton Rapids Public
Very
Schools.
Very small
how many
school,
schools
right,
could
yeah.
be in Eaton Rapids?
Well, I mean, how many students, right?
How many students?
Right. Probably not. It could, although it could be a large district if they bus them in from the farms, you know. But
right. And then there's
Harper Woods is not that
big.
Woods. Might be bigger than Dearborn, Harper Woods, in terms of population. We only have about 95,000 people in Dearborn, so. And I don't know how many students that is, but well, nonetheless, welcome to. And if he is going to be here.
Well, the college is part of the deal.
Brian Whiston.
The college is part of the operation, the school board, isn't it?
Superintendent has nothing. No, we have our own independent
school board.
Person. We have the same school board, the trustees, put on Henry Ford Community College hats once a month and become our board of trustees.
Okay. Well, that's
but the
what
superintendent
I mean.
Only deals with K-12. Our president is in charge, our chief administrative officer here, Dr. Gail Mee. So
that's what I do.
There you go,
know.
Ned. Let's keep that straight. Yeah, when I say superintendent, in some areas, the superintendent might actually be in charge of a community college in the area.
Well, I knew all the trusts were the same. I didn't understand what the difference was.
Right. Well, there you go. So we do have probably a new superintendent who does think out of the box and has some interesting ideas, and we'd love to hear more about that in the future. A couple of tips here. Wattos has a house tour tomorrow, Saturday, during the day. What is Wattos, you say? It is the Women's Association for the Dearborn Orchestral Society. They're helping the Dearborn Symphony. They always are. They're a fundraising organization within the Dearborn Symphony. And this is always popular each year. If you live in Dearborn, you get to walk through different neighborhoods. People open their houses and see how they decorate them and see what the design is like. Sometimes it's historic district. And this is Dearborn's...
That happened once in my neighborhood, I remember. Yeah. I don't know who the sponsors were. I assume it must be the same people.
Tomorrow it's a... what was it? They're taking a one-year hiatus and showcasing a single home in Dearborn's exclusive Golden Triangle. Yeah. So this is different. So you don't have to walk very far, folks. This tomorrow's just one house. The traditional Georgian...
Where's the Golden Triangle?
Well, we're finding out here. The traditional Georgian colonial has been updated and enlarged. Homeowner John Matthews Jr., a native Dearbornite and designer at Chrysler, has painstakingly filled the home with some of the finest period art and antique furnishings. He and his partner, Don DeVere, also an antique dealer, have appeared at many antique shows and sales throughout Michigan. Okay, the house is at 1545 Belmont.
You know what? Belmont.
I don't know where Belmont
is. I think it's between near Gulf View, where the golf course is, going west on...
could be. Yeah, west of the...
Belmont
the,
is between Telegraph
near the Dearborn and, Country Club?
Yeah. I think it's a... Because I know there's Belmont going north of Ford Road, east of Telegraph.
And this is different. These home tours...
East of the Outer Drive, I should say.
These home tours in the past have been during the day, and your family could walk down the block. But this is at night. Ooh. 7 to 11 p.m. tomorrow night, and tickets are $50.
Lord, have mercy.
Excuse me. But all the proceeds are going to the Dearborn Symphony. And the evening begins with a champagne and wine toast. And they provide that, of course, for the money. Hearty hors d'oeuvres and appetizers prepared by noted chef Richard Eichard. That's what it says. There will be other beverages along with musical treats by the talented musician, the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. If weather permits, guests will be able to take a stroll in the English gardens at the place and view the antiques outside. So, and there's a picture in the Times Herald from Wednesday, 1545 Belmont. And I guess you better call the Dearborn Symphony either for reservations. That's 313-565-3516. That's the Watto's president, Louise Levesque. And the Symphony office, which is easy to find on their website, so on dearbornsymphony.org, is 313-565-2424.
There's the house.
So two people doing this would cost you $100,
right.
But it's a good cost. And you see the house, a nice Georgian colonial, but apparently really beautiful antique. If you love antiques and maybe even or the English garden, if the weather's nice at night and there's still sunshine for a couple hours, you might want to consider that. So, right. And we have a lot of friends at the Dearborn Symphony. They help support WHFR.
Since this is
we help to support them.
This is the political season. Why don't we end with... McCain's campaigners still will vote for him?
Yeah.
We only have 4 months. He said something.
Why don't you summarize that for us as I get ready to...
It looks like a local businessman, Ali Jawad, says he still will vote for presumptive Republican presidential nominee John McCain despite their controversial split 3 weeks ago. Jawad garnered national attention when he stepped down from McCain's Michigan Finance Committee on April 24th amid claims by a conservative blogger that he is connected to the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. He has maintained that these allegations are untrue, saying he is a patriotic American, that the split was a mutual decision. I understand McCain. I missed everything he said yesterday. I guess I was... he had a big interview and apparently some controversial things.
I can't update you either on that.
It must be something to do with the Arabic community's interest in the Palestinian issue that McCain must have said or done something to cause this, but he's still going to vote for him.
Well, there's been over the last several days on the and I don't think people should live their lives on the 24-hour headline or news channels like Fox and CNN. That's a mistake, folks, because but maybe once a week, you know, catch up or whatever. But you just get too paranoid or fearful or too everything is sensationalized so much that you don't have perspective on it. But there's been other comments that somebody in the Middle East, some Hamas leader or whatever, would prefer to have Barack Obama win. They'd rather negotiate with him than John McCain. And that's supposedly McCain's, some of McCain's people, not necessarily him, are saying, that's a reason to vote for me instead of Obama.
Because Obama's supported by terrorists.
But I my comment on that, and we're ending right now because we got to wrap up, got about 30 seconds here on the new WHFR Journal, is that often I can't believe the faithfulness of some people to their political party. When the candidate, in this case, John McCain, or through his advisors anyway, clearly trashed this man's reputation by suggesting he was part of Hezbollah or contributed money to them. And he nonetheless says, I'll still support John McCain because I'm a Republican. Well, I just want to say, folks, and it's true if you look at it, Republicans and Democrats are not that much different, despite what you think. You look at what they've actually done when they've been in office. Nobody has done a decent health care or health care reform. Nobody has done Social Security reform. No one has come up with a fairer tax system. No one has not had foreign wars. Clinton had Bosnia and what was the one that starts with an S? Sumeria, Sumatra, Somalia. Yeah. Maybe some of those are justified, maybe not, but all kinds of people getting killed. And of course, Iraq is the big example. Afghanistan maybe justified at least to try to find bin Laden. Some people would say, don't vote for the party, vote for the candidate, or vote for the issues. And on the issues, I am of the opinion the Democrats and Republicans, despite what they say, are very much alike in terms of what they've done when they've been in office. So this gentleman, I'm sorry, I would not continue to support John McCain if he dished me and made that association. But he is a loyal Republican, whatever that means, and I don't think it means very much these days. If you look at what they've done and you look at what the Democrats have done, there are other choices. And Ned, I know you have your own point of view, but no time for that now. Sorry.
Nope.
Thank you for being with me today.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for letting our listeners know the opinion of a erstwhile local politician, as well as intelligent person with a couple of academic master's degrees.
The important thing is Social Security thing. We need to raise that 90.
Another senior person along with yours truly here who could spout off for a little while. Thank you for listening today, and stay tuned for the Big Band Show. Excuse me, Big Band Show is finished.